Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5, 21 to 34. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus, by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had had discharge of blood for 12 years and who had suffered much under many physicians. And he had spent all that she had and was no better, but only grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus and came behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garment, I'll be made well." And immediately the flow of the blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that the power had gone out, immediately turned into the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." A person goes in to talk to the doctor before a big operation, and the doctor says, "Doctor, will I be able to work out after the operation?" And says, "If all goes well, you should be able to go back to working out." The doctor, said, and the person said, "Doctor, will I be able to play the violin after the operation?" "Yes, of course." And the person said, "That is a miracle." And the doctor says, "No, not really. It's just medical science." He said, "No, you don't understand. I couldn't play it before." It is a miracle. Today in this passage, we have a faith healing. And now when I say the word faith healing, I'm sure many different things come to mind. For me, I see Benny Hinn. I don't know if you know who Benny Hinn is. And he's on stage in a nice suit. And someone who could not walk or someone who's in pain comes on stage and the pastor, healer, preacher prays for them, and all of a sudden they can move without, they're pain-free, or they dance off stage. It reminds me of a movie. I don't know if anyone seen Leap of Faith with Steve Martin from the, maybe that was the 90s, maybe 80s, 90s. But anyway, it's a great movie if you haven't seen it. And it has Meatloaf in it, not the food, but the singer. But Steve Martin plays this traveling preacher healer who sets up tents everywhere he goes, and he tries to kind of actually hustle people out of their money. He's kind of a hustler. And then, something happens in the movie. I don't want to ruin it, even though you have had about 30 years now again. Every movie I say, I don't want to give you the ending, but it's like, you've had your chances, people. But he begins to question his own life and all the things that's going on with him. But that's the idea we get when we hear the word faith healing. But we have mixed thoughts, but that's really, I'm not here to knock what these healers are, how effective they are, how much miracles work, because miracles happen all the time. That's not my concern or our concern this morning, but I think our concern lies with the story and our knowledge, our familiarity with the struggle that we have with illness and sickness in our day-to-day lives. Sickness is the great interrupter of life. It enters without knocking, it thwarts all of our plans, mocking the idea of certainty. And it diminishes our hope in some ways for the future. It intrudes like a burglar in our home and touches all the different parts of our life. We have an amazing story this morning, a story about this uninvited guest, this burglar of things we hold dear. It's a story about sickness. We get to see a healing, but more than that, we get to see what a healing looks like. Here in this story, we have what is really a faith healing. And how God, through Jesus, is at the center of it for this woman, and in turn for us in our daily lives. Now, the scripture says this woman had a constant bleeding of the female variety. We're not sure exactly what she had, but it was something that she struggled with for 12 years. Now, I've been asked, is it literally 12 years? And I'm not sure. 12 is a pretty symbolic number in the Bible, and Jairus' daughter is 12 years old. So when we had Bible study, we talked about Mark, and we're not sure, you know, maybe it's just kind of a symbolic, they're both 12. As long as the little girl's been alive, this woman struggled with this illness. But it's up for us to make the call. But the point of knowing what her illness was, that the Bible is trying to knock home the idea that because of this disease, because of it, she was unclean. She was unfit in the eyes of all of the people that were around her. The Levitical law said that if you had any of this or any kind of bleeding, you weren't allowed to go to the temple or do anything until you were purified. But the problem was, to be purified, the bleeding had to have stopped, and you had to wait 7 days from the last time it stopped before you could go and even be purified. And this was hard from a spiritual, religious perspective for this woman, because she was not able to practice her beliefs. If she bled for years, there was never a time when she was able to be purified under the law, so she couldn't do any of the outward things of her faith. And I know that we may be thinking, well, we're the great-great-great-great-grandchildren of the Reformation, and so she can still connect to God, even though she couldn't do these other things. She can still pray to God, even though she couldn't go into the temple and offer sacrifices. But we have to remember that these outward activities were the only game in town, so to speak. She could pray to God, but restricting access to her modes of worship limited her. She, you know, and the interpretation of law said she couldn't do the things that kept her connected to God. And so the woman, when they're, you know, they weren't allowed in the temple. And so the law said you were not allowed to come in contact. More than that, you weren't even allowed to come in contact with anyone else who was bleeding. Even if it was somebody who just cut their arm on something or something like that, if you touched anybody who was bleeding, you became unclean, and you had to wait 7 days before you could be purified. But even deeper than that, the sadder part meant that what happened to this woman and what's the context of what's happening is she was forced outside. She was on the margins of the margins. Even lepers would see her and keep their distance. This woman, like many people in our culture today, wore a sign for 12 years of her life that said, "Do not touch." It hung around her neck, and people rejected her, isolated her from something that was beyond her control, right? It wasn't something that she did, it was something that was beyond her control. She had spent all of her money, too. Spent all of her money on doctors and physicians and all these things to try to feel, and it only made her worse. She was hurt by these so-called cures. But what we learn about healing and faith, and her faith was a huge part of her healing. It was bold and brave of her to ask for help. We know the stereotypes, and you know, about men and asking for directions. And some stereotypes are unfair and they are completely sexist, and I'm appalled by them. But this one is very, very true for me. I don't know if it's New England stubbornness. I loathe asking for directions. If I don't know where something is, and luckily, you know, God, GPS came, so I don't have to ask for directions anyway. But even if there was no GPS, I would drive around in circles until I figured it out on my own. But it is brave to ask for help. It is brave to ask for help. We think crying uncle, crying out to God, is more of a last ditch, last straw kind of thing that we do when we're out of options and we label it as weak, as surrendering. Well, crying out for help is for healing is the bravest thing that we can do. Look at this unnamed woman. She had every reason in her, every bone in her body, not to reach out for help after being hurt over and over again, and her hope was almost gone. It's the bravest thing that we can do to call out to our rock, our Redeemer, call out like the song, "Lean on Me," call out to each other and say, "I need help. I need something. I'm hurting. I'm sick. I'm ill. I just need you." She's brave because what she did was against the law, the Torah. She being in the crowd, bumping into people, just being in that crowd, and people not knowing that she had that, like she was she was breaking the law. She was bumping into people who would become unclean. She could have, in some people's minds and eyes, seen Jesus. He could have rebuked her. He could have gotten her into big trouble for what she did. She was brave because other things had not worked, and she was bold to trust that it would work. Faith and healing takes bravery. We need to remember that and know that healing is not just about feeling better, getting over it. Getting over disease is about wholeness. Like for this woman, it was about being complete. Disease is the thing that goes against being whole, being one. It breaks us into pieces. Healing and making it faith healing is about being brave Because faith has the element of hope, of doubt, of that small space where things can go either way, but we hope and trust and know that God can do it. So brothers and sisters, when we need healing, we need to remember these few things. That Jesus is for everyone, and healing is for everyone. This marginalized person who was, based on the culture, unclean, unfit, not worth the time of day, is the one that Jesus chose to raise as an example. Someone who is past hope and is not past hope with Jesus. They're right when he wants to, you know, they're right where he wants them to be. He raised her as an example, saying, "Your faith has made you whole." Now, sometimes this can get us into trouble because I worked in the hospital with patients and people who are sick, and they're looking for healing, and they feel like if their faith was stronger, they would be healed. But I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus points to her faith, and she said, and said what we're all called to do in times of trouble. He says, you need to do this when you're in times of trouble. She heard, and she came, and she touched. She heard of healers and doctors before, but she heard about Jesus. She heard about somebody, you know, that was seemed to be more connected to God than these other people that she'd run into. So she grabbed onto that hope. So she heard about him. She came to him. She sought him out in a crowd. She knew she was unclean, and it barred her. But she, in spite of fear of more pain, more loss, of more consequences, she came to him. And then she reached out and touched him. And this is a practice, you know, they had stories of Alexander the Great where people would try to touch Alexander the Great because they thought it would heal them. So this was a normal kind of thing. And a lot of people touched Jesus in the course of his life, in the market and things like that. Many people bumped into him, bumped into God. That's why there's a funny part of this passage I love where Jesus feels the healing power leave him. And he says, you know, they're in this crowd and he says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples say, you know, like, what do you mean? There's 50 people around you. Everyone's bumping into each other. It'd be like you're at a concert or Black Friday shopping and you say, "Who bumped into me?" It's like everyone has bumped into you. So many touched Jesus. So many people just inadvertently had contact with Jesus. But they weren't healed because, unlike this woman, they didn't believe that it would happen. They didn't have the eyes of faith that saw God as someone who could bring this healing in spite of insurmountable odds. They didn't have faith that God could do it like the hero in this story, the heroess in this story. Ultimately, and most importantly, the thing I want us to remember, if we don't remember anything else from this morning, is that healing and faith healing is nothing more than coming into contact with God. Jesus says, "Your faith has healed you." He says, "You saved who? You saved you. You saved yourself." The word here used, or, you know, "Your faith has healed you." The word here for healing or saved you is a variant of the name of Jesus. Jesus just means God saves, or God saves. And so the same way the woman cannot know if the desire for healing and the wholeness is this desire for God. But it is. It was a desire that she had for God, for connection to the divine. And it's the same thing for each of us. We may not know it, we may not use that kind of language, but the desire within us for healing, for wholeness, comes ultimately for a desire to the divine. Have a connection with the divine that's been disconnected. That no matter what happens, we have a connection with the person who will see us through. Because even if we are healed or what is wrong, and if we're not, we have the more important thing. We have this relationship with the divine that's for eternity. See, what did this woman want? She wanted a cure, healing, however you want to put it. She wanted her sickness to end. She wants something, and we do too. If we are sick or not whole, what do we want? We want to be not sick. We want the tumor to go away, the infection to disappear. We want, most of the time, we want a something. We want a drug that will help, or chemo, or we want a cure. But not Jesus. What did he want? He does not want something, but a someone. He wants a relationship. And that's all it was about. Knowing and being in a relationship with God is what it's all about. We see this clearly at the end of the story, because what does he call her? What does he call her at the end of the story? I know this is like Bible trivia 101. I'll read it again. He calls her daughter. He looks at her and he says, "Daughter." That's not like, he didn't say woman or lady who was bleeding for 12 years or any of the things that he could have said to her in that moment. He calls her daughter because she's part of the family of God. And that was what the biggest connection was for her. They have a relationship, God and her, and Jesus calls it out and she falls to her feet. So when we encounter God, we're no longer just a face in the crowd. She was no longer unclean, unwanted. She was special. She was called daughter, maybe what she'd been wanting to hear for 12 years. Not only that, she's whole. He wishes her peace, something that she hadn't had for 12 years. We don't know her name, but that's okay because she has a new identity. Jesus, by calling her daughter, says to the one thing because of illness, which was set apart, being separated, pushed away, that's not the case anymore. You're part of this family, this whole once again. The idea that she wanted to go to the temple to do the practices of the Jewish faith was not about doing those things. It was about belonging, and it was about Jesus and about connecting with God. All true healing comes in all the different parts of our life. It takes faith and trust that it will work. Faith healing is brave on so many levels, brave to hear, to be open to hearing, brave to come and see for yourself, and brave to touch, even in the midst of maybe doubt and lack of hope. Wholeness through God is hope for the hopeless. For all people and church, this community is called to be that place. It's supposed to, that's our job. In this story, the rejected by the powers that be and rejected by the priests and the Pharisees and the scribes, it was supposed to be the place where she was felt welcome. She was always a daughter of God, and she should have been reminded of that at every single turn. And that's our job, no matter who people are. This church, community, faith, who we are is supposed to be echoing that. When people come in, they are sons, daughters, people of God. So some of us might hear of the healing power and ability of God to make us whole, but lack the courage to seek out God, but maybe find in God that we're afraid to make that connection or allow ourselves to be loved, allow ourselves to be forgiven, allow us to hear a different story about how we see our own lives. Yet no matter what we're going through, no matter how outside we feel, how rejected, how unloved, how sick, how disheveled, how splintered, all we have to do is just seek God. Or as the song goes, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full on his wonderful face, and the things of the earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Amen.